1Q 2018 RES growth was only at 5%, and this has improved to closer to 8% during the first half period, having been pulled by the 10.5% growth during 2Q alone. Rental, on the other hand, remained healthy and in line, growing at 16.6% during the first 6 months of the year, while hotels grew at 10.4% during the same period. Overall, core revenue growth was strong, expanding at about 10% for the first two quarters of the year. On the other hand, non-core revenues, which is made up of realized gross profit from prior year sales, earning share from net income of associates, and interest in other income, is likewise up at about 10%. Separately, these accounts are up 18%, down 15%, and up 3% respectively. Consequently, consolidated revenues is healthily up at about 10.3% for the period. On the cost side, residential and hotel related cost growth remain in check, having expanded only 6.6% and 7.2% respectively for the period. However, as you can see in the slide, OPEX and other expenses grew about 14.6% year on year. This is mainly due to the 14% expansion in OPEX and 63% growth in interest and other charges, which mostly reflects unrealized forex losses. The growth on OPEX was mostly because of 30% growth in depreciation and amortization for the period, which is expected as we have been completing a lot of investment properties every year for the past number of years. On interest and other charges, as mentioned, the 63% increase was mostly caused by unrealized forex losses, which grew from 303 million pesos to 1.1 billion pesos year on year during the first 6 months of 2018. Specifically, forex losses for the second quarter alone is at about 4 million pesos, which is a bit lower than the previous quarter's 670 million pesos. Evidently, this is a big amount, and if we strip this out, earnings could have grown at about 22 or 23%. At any rate, operating income grew in line at about 10% year on year. Pre-tax income, on the other hand, grew a bit higher at about 11.9% for the period because of the 8% drop in interest expense due to the $200 million bond that matured last April. Overall, net income and net income attributable to owners grew at about 12.2% and 12.6% respectively, with net income margin hitting at about 28% and having expanded about 40 basis points for the period. Next slide, please. As mentioned in the previous slide, core revenues is up 10% for the year, being mostly driven by residential and the rental businesses. Residential revenues, which is made up of the first three items, real estate sales, interest income on RES, and realized gross profit on prior year sales, is up about 8.5% for the period. Real estate sales performance in 2Q improved to about 10.5% as mentioned, pulling the first half growth to about 7.5%. Additionally, we continue to be at pace with our residential projects, as evident in the GP that we are able to realize from previously booked sales, which grew at about 18.5% for the period. In terms of mix, the revenue pie more or less looks the same. The bulk still comes from residential, though it is notable that this has come down a bit from 3 to 5 years ago when it was contributing more than 70% of total revenues. The contribution of rental income, on the other hand, expanded closer to 25%, which consequently was only barely 20% during the time. Hotel operations and non-core revenues, on the other hand, still contribute about 3 to 4% respectively. Now, the next few slides will talk about the residential segment. And similar to the residential RESI-related results that we just reported, we saw very encouraging numbers on our operating statistics. On launches, we previously reported that we achieved about 36.7 billion in 1Q. For the second quarter, we were able to launch an additional 29.5 billion, which brings our total as end of June to 66.2 billion pesos. This is about 80% of the full year target of 80 billion, which is already a revised target from the initial 60 billion guidance that we set. We added inventory in areas like Westside City and in the Entertainment City, which we said during the last briefing is particularly strong area. We added two more projects there. We are all We also launched our first residential project in Arco Villa City, in Pasig City, the 18th Avenue de Trio. Another project we introduced in the same area is called The Fifth, which is under our subsidiary, Jerry. We also continue to push out projects in Southwoods and Iloilo during the half. All in all, we launched 8 projects during the second quarter, which brings our total count to 13 projects launched for the first half of the year. In terms of pricing, we continue to see price going up in varying extents in our different locations. For example, in West Side City, back to the West Side City side, please. For example, in West Side City, around the same time last year, prices were at around 180,000 pesos per square meter, whereas our new launches in 2Q, such as this Gentry Manor, they're already priced at around 280,000 pesos per square meter. So that's basically a 56% growth in price year on year. Next slide. Also, to add an example, in Iloilo Business Park, we launched the north wing of this project, San Dominic, last year at about 138,000 pesos per square meter, whereas we priced our new launch in 2Q, which is the south wing, at about 145,000 pesos per square meter. So basically, it's 5% increase year on year. Also, next slide. Well, we just want to present some of our key launches in the Pasig area, being the first one, Arco Villa City, the 18th Avenue de Triomphe. It has a total sales value of about 4.6 billion and is already 26% taken up. Also, the 5th in Pasig City in the Renaissance Complex along Marayaco Avenue. It's made up of 2 towers basically and has a total sales value of about 8 billion. It's already 57% taken up. And this is a project of our subsidiary, Jerry. In terms of unsold inventory, after the first half of 2018, it stood at about 94.6 billion pesos. Now, on the demand side, we saw continued strong take-up. We reported that we made about 42.6 billion pesos in the first quarter, and in the second quarter, we were able to achieve an additional 33.4 billion pesos, which brings the first half total to about 76.1 billion worth of sales reservation. This is about 70% of the 110 billion guidance that we have set for the year, which we are sticking to. Out of this total of about 76 billion pesos, the breakdown per brand is as follows. 51.6 billion pesos towards Meg. Jerry has about 8.4 billion pesos. And the rest, which is about 60 billion pesos, would be under LE and SBI combined. And even though we see a decline quarter and quarter, so that's 1Q versus 2Q, we do not take this as anything that other than a timing effect, as the same behavior was seen in 2017, actually. Typically, strong quarters would be the second and third quarters, whereas last year the second quarter was actually the strongest quarter of the company ever, where it recorded about 32.2 billion pesos in sales reservation, while the third quarter it dipped to about 22.3 billion pesos, which was the weakest in 2017. So yeah. Additionally, we saw early last year, Chinese customers still account for, you know, a portion of the sales reservation, which is maybe around 15%, as how we reported previously. However, it is the local demand that drives most of our sales. Most of Chinese demand would be in prime areas such as West Side City and Fort Bonifacio, as well as areas where there are POGO operations such as Fort Bonifacio, Makati, and Cebu. Now the next slide talks about the profitability of a residential business. In line with the performance that we have been reporting, we saw gross profit grow 10% year on year with margins going back to the 46% to 47% level. Year on year, GPM improved by 80 basis points, ending at about 46.6%. And despite just rising inflation, we do not see our margins suffering for now because we have already locked in our costs insofar as projects are concerned. We also can maintain the mix that we have between vertical and horizontal developments given the profile of the land bank that we have. So the margins should continue. Besides this, the slide also shows the growth brought about by the progressive bookings from sales that we recognized in the past. As we can see, the growth of realized gross profit on prior year sales is steep at about 18.4% year on year, which signals that we have not slowed down in meeting our commitments to our patrons. In the same light, DGP or deferred gross profit is down about 16% year on year. In total, profitability from both current and previously recognized projects stood at close to 8 billion, which is 22% improvement from the previous year. Next slide, please. The next slide shows the sales mix of the company per brand and per location, which we want to present because we believe that it ties with the basically the diversification story of MegaWorld. By brand, we maintain the same profile, which shows MegaWorld taking about 70% and the bulk of total RES, inclusive of SPI, while Global Estate and Empire East split the balance of 30%. Location-wise, most of the sales are still driven in Metro Manila, which is about 70% of total. Particularly, 22% came from Fort Bonifacio, which has increased a bit in share because of our new offerings in McKinley West, such as the Albany, and more recently, Park McKinley West. Sales in the area grew about 70% year on year, while the rest of Metro Manila accounts for about 48% of total sales. But in terms of growth, this has actually gone down a bit, about 3% year on year. We also saw good growth outside of the capital. Luzon ex Metro Manila accounts for 15% of total sales, which reflects our products mostly in the south, such as Southwood City and Twin Lakes, as well as our other areas in Luzon, like Cavite and Rizal, where the other subs are. The region or area exhibited about a 9% growth year on year. On the other hand, the Visayas region accounts for roughly the same, about 15%. This is mostly driven by sales in Visayas, actually, as most of our projects in the south are concentrated in that area, particularly in Iloilo, Cebu, Bacolod, and Boracay. The area as a whole grew 38% for the period. Now, the next few slides would be on rental. Particularly, this side shows a snapshot of the revenues and the space that we have. With inter-segment sales, our rental top line ended at about 7.2 billion for the first half of the year, which is a growth of about 17% year on year. Office still takes up most of this at about 4.2 billion pesos, which is about 58% of total rental revenues, while the revenues from our lifestyle malls and other commercial concepts ended at about 2.6 billion pesos, or about 36% of total. For the pipeline this year, we maintain our estimate of an additional 345,000 square meters of gross leasable space between our office and commercial developments. And by the year end, we should have over 1.6 billion square meters in total GLA. For office, for the pipeline this year, which is about 207,000 square meters, about 40% has been released, so that's a bit of an improvement from the previously reported about 20-25%. And the same is true for the succeeding space, for the succeeding years until 2020, 40% is still released, as previously reported. For commercial, we've actually opened quite a number of developments for the first half, the biggest of which would be the Festive Walk Mall in Luis Park, which forms in large part the 98,000 square meter additional space that we are set to deliver this year. This also translates to about over 120,000 square meters of gross floor area, actually. And more recently, well, just last month, we also announced the opening of some community malls, particularly in Adabang area, which is the Village Square. And we also have two such developments in Makati. All right, the next slide, please. So this slide basically talks about the high rental margins that we have. While rental top line grew at about 17% for the period, rental EBIT had a steeper growth of about 19%. As shown on the bottom part, on EBIT, margins are high and hover at about 76%, at the 76% level from last year to this year. It actually ended at about 76.7% after the first half of this year, which is an expansion of about 100 basis points year on year. On EBITDA, however, this is even higher. Rental EBITDA ended at about 6.3 billion for the period, having grown at an even steeper 20% year on year. Likewise, there was a big improvement in EBITDA margin, on rental EBITDA margin of about 180 basis points. Now, connected to this, from the 25% share of rental in top line, on top line rather, Rental contribution on EBIT and EBITDA translate much more, 49% and 51% respectively, as shown in the pie charts on the upper half of the slide. The next few slides will talk about the balance sheet. Since our then existing $200 million bond had matured last April, our current debt, as shown in this slide, had gone down from $75 billion to $64.7 billion. This leaves us with two bonds, the $250 million bond that's maturing on 2023 and the 12 billion peso bond that will mature a year after. In peso terms, this would be about 25 billion pesos in total, or about 38% of total debt. The foreign bond alone would be about 20%. On the other hand, loans account for about 39.6 billion pesos of total debt, or a little over 60% of total. We also want to highlight the profile of our debt, which is 87% fixed, as this allows us to preserve our low cost of debt amidst our rising interest rates environment. Next slide. Our first half 2018 net gearing is down to 28% from the previous quarter's 36%, which is the same as the full year of 2017. As a result of the $200 million bond maturing, it was refinanced through a hybrid instrument that is equity accounted, so in effect, it helps us manage our balance sheet. As we have mentioned previously, we are capping our debt to 100 billion pesos, and because of this development, we now have more room for additional debt. Lastly, on CapEx, we have spent close to about 22.5 billion pesos during the first half, most of which would be to fund the construction of our residential office and lifestyle malls. Only a very small portion, which is about 200 million pesos, was used for land banking. So that's basically the last slide and concludes the presentation. The floor is now open for questions, if you have any.
I just like to ask for the residential side first. You mentioned that 15% of total sales was from mainland Chinese. How much was from foreigners in total? Do you know?
Well, typically, overseas sales would be about 20%, 20-25%. But that's on a book level. I don't have the exact figure as now. I can check, but that should give you a good indication already on the type of foreign sales that we generate. Generated.
Overseas sales meaning foreign nationals, not including OFW.
No, actually it's including OFW. These are sales basically done outside of the country.
And regarding your rental project for this time, as of the first half, I just like to ask the occupancy of both the office and retail portfolios, and for the retail, if possible, the same mall rental growth. And for office, if you could tell us a rough idea of how much spot rents have gone up.
So I'll just answer for the office, and maybe Kevin can talk about retail. So with regard to office, the occupancy remains high. We have around 96% in terms of occupancy. And in terms of rental has remained stable. No? When I say stable, the spaces that are available, we have been able to increase rental on average about 5-10%. Every time that we have a new project that is being completed, no? Whether that is in Metro Manila or in the province.
For the retail, typically our occupancy is typically around above 90%, 95%. In terms of escalation, we typically escalate at around 5-10% for year on year. For renewals, we typically escalate at 10%.
Thank you.
Hi,
No other questions? Okay. Hazel.
Hi, Hazel of First Metro Securities. The office side, specifically on the BOGO, it seems that there's still continued demand from the sector. Can you just share how the regulations progressed or improved since the industry entered the Philippines in late 2016? And how does this affect your outlook in the industry going forward? Thank you.
What we've seen, and based on our discussion, it remains very consistent. No? The government continues to maintain its open arms or welcoming approach in terms of providing a legal framework for them to operate here in the Philippines. And what we have been hearing from our tenants who are operating as BOGO is that there are no reported harassments or any investigations or NBI coming in because they are all licensed. No? So the companies that we are dealing with have the proper letter of no objection from the local government where they belong to, which is a prerequisite for them to operate. And they also have their PAGCOR gaming licenses. So that has been consistent, and there has been no dramatic change in terms of policy as to how they will operate in the Philippines. And more importantly, there is no impediment with regards to limiting the number of licenses because, as you already know, they are able to sub-license, no? Those 51 licenses. And recently, just that's why we are already at the 40% level. One building in Eastwood City, about 30,000 square meters, was recently fully leased out by a BOGO company. No? So they took up the entire space, and 5 years lease term, 3 months security deposit, 3 months of advance. So and then they continue to also invest in condominiums, no, for the housing of their employees. So we are very encouraged that there seems to be more players in the BOGO sphere, and they are aggressively looking at other local governments, no? Because originally they were in Pasay, and then in Makati, and partly in Taguig, but now in Quezon City as well, because Eastwood is in Quezon City.
Good afternoon, Julian Gaza from JP Morgan. Just to follow up on Carl's question, could you please disclose your same mall revenue growth on retail? And second, do you have details on the state land acquisition? How much did you purchase the company for and your plans for the assets? Thank you.
Same mall revenue growth would be around 10-11%. Can you shoot me an email in state land? Because there are a lot of specifics. But if you have any, you know, particular questions that you want to know right now, we can discuss after.
Afternoon. So as far as the residential, what's your outlook on residential considering interest rates have gone up, and
we'll probably go up. Generally, we're still very optimistic. Even though interest rates are, you know, going up, we haven't seen any, negative effect yet. And we believe it's because most of the customers, anyway, of Mega World, they pay for the bulk of the contract or the purchase through their own equity. That's why we are still sticking with the 110 billion target that we have for the year. Also, there's a second driver of demand, as we said earlier, the Chinese demand is greatly helping us in churning our inventory. So.
Thanks for the briefing. Two questions on residential, actually. First is on inventory.
How much is left for you to sell right now in terms of sales value? And second is, can you give us an estimate on the kind of terms that you give to buyers, like length? Has that changed over time, the last year or so?
Okay. On the unsold inventory, it's 94.6 billion pesos. So that's a little less than a year's worth. We can, you know, it's easy for us to launch new projects though. Typically, I guess the comfortable level would be a year's worth. If we need to launch more, we already have the projects anyway, and the land is there. So it's just a matter of introducing the projects. So no problem with that. In terms of the payment schemes, more recently, well, not more recently, but over the past couple of years, it's been the same, no down payment. So about 60%, 50-60% of total contract price would be paid through the construction period of the building, which is more or less about 3-4 years. And then the turnover balance is given in lump sum to us upon turnover of the unit, obviously. So that's typically the payment scheme.
Follow up pala. I noticed that their realized sales on previous years have grown.
Yes.
And the deferred gross profit has actually been lower. So does that mean that we can observe that kind of growth in the future? Meaning, would you book revenues faster than before?
I think the growth in RES was to a certain effect also affected by the sales in POGOs that we've mentioned, because these companies, they take up ready for occupancy units. So once they don't pay typically the same way as a pre-sale would be. So we are able to book more of the sale already. So that helped us in realizing RES more for current year. But in effect, that also, you know, that also affects the decrease in DGP. But for the realized profit, gross profit on prior year sales, that's basically an effect of the continued construction in the residential projects, basically. But it doesn't have anything to do anymore with the type of booking for the current year.
The other impact is the mix of the sales. So in recent years, we also have some land sales, so obviously
it's faster.
Yeah, because we just build the road, drainage, and it's a shorter period of time to recognize, shorter life cycle.
Okay, thanks, Vincent. Thanks.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm Rachel from Corston Smith. Can you just give us a breakdown on your leasing, on whether how much of this account for POGO and how much for BPOs? And also, can you comment on the current BPO demand? Are you seeing slowdown as of this year? Thank you.
Thank you. As we have maintained, I think BPO is consistently growing, primarily driven because of the existing tenants that we have that continue to take up more space. And I always anchor that to the fact that they've already invested here. And when they came in at first, they were like 44 pesos to a dollar. Now it's like 54. So that's easily a 20% discount on their cost. No? And bunch of the cost is on labor, which is like 50%. No? So it's about 15% for POGO. Majority is still the BPO and traditional offices. And the reason behind that is a lot of the pre-commitments are still coming from BPO. What we should understand about POGO is that they would not pre-lease. They will not pre-lease. They would look at the space that's going to be ready in the next 6 months. The farthest that they can stretch is probably 1 year. They will not wait that long. They need space right now, and they need to make sure that they become operational at the soonest possible time, because their license, the POGO, has a shelf life, no? And it's a subject for review as well. So in 2019 and 2020, close to 40% of our office projects for 2019 and 2020 are already pre-leased. So these are both built-to-suit projects. POGO will not do built-to-suit. So that's why we are able to maintain that healthy balance of 15% on POGO, and then majority are still in BPO and traditional offices. But POGO is growing rapidly. No? So there's no way of saying whether it's going to be at the 20% level, but it's a healthy balance, no? For us.
Just to clarify, this is for the current take-up, 15% for POGO?
No, total.
So for the current take-up, how much are you seeing POGO as a percentage?
The 200,000 square meters of space that we have earmarked for this year. So Eastwood Global Plaza, the entire building, 32,400 square meters, is POGO. And Southwood's BPO is also POGO. The rest are pretty much BPO.
Hi, just a follow-up on RJ's question on residential banking. Can you give us maybe what portion of the 94.6 billion is RFO? And second is that, are you getting a bit of interest from U.S. Sports online betting, since I believe it's, they're becoming more open to sports betting online? Thank you.
Let me get back to you on the percentage of RFO for the pre-sales. We'll just... Over 20%. Yeah.
On the U.S. online, we have yet to see or feel the impact of them coming in. We have not really seen an aggressive push, no, from American companies to do online gaming. But that would be welcome.
I just have a follow-up questions on your office. Could you give us an idea what kind of lease rates have you extended for the new offices to POGOs as well as to for your existing BPO clients?
For example, well, actually, again, the POGO, they're more analytical now. No? It's not like they have the money and then they just pay a premium, no, a 10 or 15% premium on rent. I would say that BPO and POGO are pretty much almost the same right now. And the reason behind that is that it's become a cash flow game, no? Even for the POGO, because it's not just office that they need to get themselves into. They now see the value of having some investments in terms of condominium, residential condominium. So they need to be able to stretch from the lease of the office to the fit out of the office to the furnishing the residential, investing in residential, and don't be surprised, no, they're also getting into retail and other support amenities, no, supermarket, nail spa, Chinese. So it is a full range of services that they provide. So they want to make sure that they are able to get the maximum value for their money. So it's almost the same. No? For example, in Eastwood, rental rates would probably be in the 600 to 700 peso per square meter range. So both BPO and POGO are within that range. Of course, if it's Fort Bonifacio, it is very selective. No, it is a primarily BPO territory. Of course, you go out Southwoods, outside of Metro Manila, you go to Newport, then it's different as well. No? So it's the same. It's more or less the same now in terms of rental. But they're getting more space. So that's the, I think the trade-off is, okay, maybe we're not as trigger happy anymore, you know, to pay a premium, but we want more space. Remember before when they were signing up with us, it was like 20,000 square meters. Recently, it's like 30,000, one go, 35,000. So, and in a sense, if you're getting more space, the rent shouldn't be that high as well, because there's volume discount somewhat.
Just on the Pogo, part of the attraction is going back to what we've been, you know, we've been meeting and talking about the live, work, play, learn concept. So that lends, it becomes very, very attractive for them, because within one community, they can have everything that they need. The housing, the office, and some of the decision makers also want to put up their own retail store, restaurant. We can serve all of them. And that's the attraction. Although, if they go to another place, they have to talk to one landlord for the office, maybe negotiate separately for residential, and negotiate separately for other things. So, and remember, a lot of these people that come here, they employ Chinese nationals, and the concern all the time is the safety of their employees. No? So, if you're within a walkable city, community, it becomes very attractive for them. And that's the reason why a lot of our communities have become very popular places for these POGOs to hold office and for the employees to actually reside in.
We have still time for a few questions. But if there are none anymore, we can take a break. So there are some refreshments at the back. We'll start the AGI briefing at around 2:30. Thank you.
They're like the visitors, Chinese tourists.
Yeah.
even though we already know
I don't know.